Gemara is in Shabbos, Pei Tesamat Aleph, and Jesse, I want to thank her for asking me about this Gemara. So it says as follows: Amar Bishua Ben Levi. It says Bishah She'alam Moshe Lamarom. When Moshe went up to Shemayim at Har Sinai, Matzil Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shal Yakosher Kesarim Shel Osios. He found Hashem, who was tying on the crowns, putting on the crowns on top of the letters. The letters in the Torah have like crowns on top, little nice pretty crowns on top. Different letters get the crowns. So he saw Hashem making these crowns on top of the letters. Okay, and the idea is that these crowns contain chachma. They allude to different ideas. Which letters have crowns, which letters don't have crowns. They say Rabbi Akiva learned halachas from every single one of these crowns. His great chachma and respect for the Torah. Okay, so Hashem up in Har Sinai Moshe saw Hashem tying on these crowns. Amar lo Moshe. Moshe said, Amar lo. And so Hashem said to him, Moshe, ain't shalom b'yacha? They don't say hello where you come from? Right, in your town, they don't say hello. What's going on here? You just walk by, you don't say hello. So Amar Lefanov. So Moshe said to Hashem, "Klomi Yeshevet Shnosin Shalom L'Rabo." Is there? Is that the way? Does a master give shalom to his rav? Does a servant give shalom to his master? That's not appropriate. Is that the way it goes? So I didn't say shalom because you're my rav, and that's not the derech. It's not the way. Amar Le. So Hashem said back to him, okay, fine. But Hayy Lachala Azraini, at the very least you should have helped me. Okay? At the very least you should have helped me. No, I don't know, not clear. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Hayy Lachala Azraini? It says, Ein Shalom. It says, Ein Derech Litein Shalom. So when Hashem, Moshe was up to Har Sinai, I saw Hashem putting crowns on top of the letters, and he just walked by him or whatever, and Hashem said, "Hey Moshe, they don't say hi. Where you come from?" Right? So he said, "Moshe said, is that the way? In your place?" So he said, "Oh, is it the way of a servant to give shalom to the master? That's not the darach." So Hashem said back, he says, "Yeah, but you should have helped me." So Rashi said, "I mean, lomar tizach malachta. You should have at least said you should be successful, have hatzlacha, know what you're doing. These crowns, I know they're hard. Be happy, successful, something like that." So miyad, immediately, which Rashi says means the next time, different time he went up there. Amar lo, Moshe said to Hashem, "Ata yigdal nakoach Hashem kesher dibarta." Hashem, now please make your name, make your power great, and forgive the Jewish people. This was in this past week's parsha, and after the sin of the Meraglim, Hashem was going to punish the Jews. So Hashem, Moshe said, "Make your power great, conquer your anger, forgive the Jews, have rachamim, and all that." Okay, so that was the lesson that he learned, I guess, from Hashem, you should have helped me, saying your work should be successful. That's what he's saying, that, you know, the power of Hashem should be great. He somehow learned his lesson from that. And that's the end of the Gemara. Okay? And that's the end of the Gemara. Okay? Fine. Okay, so he went up. Shal Hashem said, you say hi where you come from? So he says, yeah, but is it the way of a servant to say hi to the master? It's not the way. So he says, fine, but at least you should have helped me. You should have said, hatzlacha and your work, you know. So the next time Moshe went up, he's davened to Hashem that his name should be great and they should forgive the Jewish people. Okay, that's the Gemara. Questions? No?
I'm totally stopped by like the flippant, you know, you don't say hi, where you come from, or like, like I feel like if you know, you have somebody great ask you a question like that, he's not apologetic at all, he's just like, right, you know, is it this, you know, I'm
the whole thing, the whole conversation
totally
sounds
by the whole conversation,
right.
Yeah.
Let me grab this red phone. You know, I think I have my phone. But who tries to?
So what was the circumstances under which Moshe was?
He was up at Har Sinai.
Up at Har Sinai, okay.
And I guess he saw Hashem writing the crowns on top of the letters, right? Making these special crowns, which I guess reflect the great Chachma in the Torah, is built into the Torah.
So, how, like, he was observing and didn't say anything?
Yes, he was observing it and he didn't interrupt and say Shalom. So that's what Hashem's saying, don't say Shalom. He says, well, what do you mean? This isn't what I'm a servant. Servants don't just walk up to their rav and say Shalom. I would imagine that. Rav's doing the work, whatever it is he's doing, the servant comes up and says, "Hey, how you doing?" It's not appropriate. And that's what Moshe's saying. It's not appropriate.
And the whole situation of him being at our scene, I was watching Hashem or learning a Torah, or wasn't just passing by. He was there for a reason, and that was the reason, though.
Right. Well, I guess he was there for learning Torah for 40 days. I don't know. It's not clear. It sounds like he was there. He's learning Torah. Maybe in his free time, Hashem was writing letters. I don't know. The whole thing is like a funny...
It's very casual.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess the whole thing was admiring Nebuah of some sort, right? But some sort of a prophecy, but it's still strange. Any other questions?
I think you already said this, but when he said that, you know, you could help me, and he said that pasuk is what?
First of all, he said you should have helped me. Rashi says means you should have said your work should be successful.
Right.
Which is funny altogether. Why does he have to encourage his work to be successful? Hashem's work to be successful. That Moshe egging him on. That's helping him. How could you help Hashem? It's hard to understand altogether. What do you mean you should have helped me? And then the pasuk is not really relevant in any way. Because the pasuk was where they have to sin in the Meraglim. He says, Hashem, you should make your power great. Like you said, Hashem, Hashem, Racham, Rechana, and forgive the Jewish people. So what does that have anything to do with this? Altogether incomprehensible. Right? Okay. So let me read you the Ritva. Maybe it helps a little bit. Okay? Because so you read a Gemara like this, and you know, it's just hard to understand anything. So it's
good to get just in terms of just looking at something like this, could you make this step that I'm about to say, is this like a valid thing to say, or you have to look further before you say something like this? That, I mean, obviously Hashem doesn't need anything from Moshe, and that these are statements of, like, how his attitude should be when, like, something like that. Can you start off by saying something like that?
That's good. Yeah. Okay. Right. You mean it's the proper attitude to be in front of your master.
So. Yeah, or like, you know, that, yeah, I mean, I don't know what Sheila Shalom would be, but, like,
right.
you know, but that, let's say, wishing Hatzlacha would be something that should be in his attitude, to, like, relating to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Can you say something like that, like, just to begin with?
That's a good approach, Definitely. Yeah, so actually the Ritva says something like that for starters. It's very cryptic what he says, but he says on this phrase, Ein Shalom B'Yerba. Yeah, I mean, it's not a... in theory, if we had infinite time, I would, it's not a bad idea to just think about it off the cuff and see what you come up with, and then look around, you know? In the interest of time, I'm just going to, you know... So he says, and I don't know, maybe there's the grammar is off or something, but it says, Ein Shalom B'Yerba, there's no, you know, they don't say Shalom in your city. It says, Pirish, Lemadetcha Torah Derech Eretz, the Torah teach you Derech Eretz. They don't say Shalom in your place, what does it mean in your place? Didn't the Torah teach you Derech Eretz? In other words, he's scolding him for not having proper Derech Eretz. This is proper Derech Eretz, you should say Shalom. Right? And in your Makom, I guess means from the Torah, didn't he learn Derech Eretz? Which points to the fact that he's, admonishing him that this is not proper Derech Eretz, and it's like a lesson in Derech Eretz, if you will. Right? Although it begs the question, I mean, I don't know, it's an interesting point, is like, is Derech Eretz appropriate when you're dealing with Hashem people? Like, Derech Eretz might be you're dealing with a person, he feels a certain way, or whatever. Does that same thing apply when you're dealing before Hashem? Maybe it is, I don't know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It's a good question. You say, look, Hashem is the ultimate master, and you have to take on the proper etiquette between a master and servant? Or do you say, look, Hashem is different, and therefore, on the one hand, Hashem is different, on the other hand, we do relate to Him like a master. It's almost like, how else are you supposed to relate to Him? So, you could say that's the case. And then the Radva says one more point. He says, Hayal Chad is raining. He learns a little different than Rashi. you should have helped me. So he says, what does it mean to help me? So he doesn't learn exactly like Rashi, but he says, Pirish, what does it mean? Well, his palel to Davin, she yitain ezer la'ama ali Israel, to give help, to Davin, that Hashem will give help to the Jewish people, limshol v'yitzram l'kayim haTorah, to rule over their desires, their yitzer, and to fulfill the Torah. Ki ezrasam, Shel Yisrael, because the helping of Kal Yisrael, he has Osher Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same thing as helping Hashem. Helping Kal Yisrael, helping Hashem, get the Marine awesome. Like the Gemara says, Shishu Osam Shel Yisrael, he is Shu Osam Shel Malchut. Because the salvation of the Jews is the salvation of Hashem. So that's what he's saying. You should daven, he should help me, means you should have daven that Hashem will help the Jewish people rule over their Yetzirah. And this is to follow the Torah. And that's helping Hashem, because helping the Jews is helping Hashem. And saving the Jews is saving Hashem. And then the Ritva finishes off. The rest of the story is Pasha. It's clear. Okay, it's easy. Okay, he just explained to you the hard part, and the rest of it is like, you know, easy. So, you know, that part is hard to see why he thinks the whole rest of the thing is easy. And it's hard to see where the Ritva is getting that. Like, Hayal is Reini, should have helped me. So Rashi learns it means, help me what I'm doing. I'm doing the grounds. Help me and say, be successful in your work. But to help me that you should have davened, that the Jews should rule over the Yitzhara, like, where does that come from? That's like a totally, you know, out of left field type of thing. Yeah. Okay, so that's all the information I've got here. Okay, so I think we could pursue the path that you were starting with, which Esther, you're suggesting, and maybe the third Fasim is pointing to, that is teaching us some sort of a lesson in Derech Eretz. Right? Moshe is a servant before his master. And Hashem's saying, come on, say hello. But Moshe seems to have a good counterpoint. That's not appropriate. Right? It's not appropriate. So, and then Hashem's response back is, yeah, but at least you could have helped me. So what's that like, back and forth? You know, there's like a few steps. Maybe we could try to explain the dialogue. Right, if we look at it as a lesson in Derech Eretz, maybe we could, you know, uncover the idea in each of the steps, what it's trying to teach us.
Seems like it's like when a parent tries to, like, not scold their child, but, like, point something out, not because the parent needs it, because they understand that it's going to shape the child's response in the future to other situations.
Right.
So it's like preparation for...
Right, like a lesson.
Know. Yeah, like Moshe and Hashem have a different kind of relationship than everyone else, so it's not...
Right, he's teaching him.
Right.
Right, it's true. Right, exactly. And the Gemara is letting us, like, spy in on that little lesson. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, I guess, what is the lesson? So the first step is good, right? You say hello, right? I mean, that seems to be an appropriate thing, right? Right, in general, you walk by somebody, say, hey, how's it going? Right? You don't ignore them. That sounds like on the surface, but they don't say shalom in your place. That's like, you know, maybe someone from New York goes to some out of town place. They walk into the store and they just ignore the person and they say, hey, where are you from? New York, oh. And realize, you know. So that sounds like his point. But then what's Moshe's response? Is Moshe's response reasonable?
It's not appropriate.
I just have a thought.
That maybe, like, I was thinking, like, what's Moshe's Havamina? Is that, like, there's no, like, deficiency in Hashem, and he doesn't need anything from anybody. He
right.
doesn't need us to say hello. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need anything from us. And there's really an unbridgeable gulf that could put a person into the mindset that there's, like, it's all God's will, and, like, what could we, like, mm-hmm. that what we do is,
right.
like, it's just coming from God's will, like, one,
right.
you know, unidirectional.
Right.
And that maybe this is, you know, suggesting that, I mean, it's true, but the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set us up with the Torah and with Tefillah and things like that is that we're not supposed to, like, you could almost just say, it's not like, why are we doing anything? Like, it's, you know, we can't do anything for Hashem, but that's not the expectation for us. Our desire should be as if we could help, like as if what we're doing, you know, makes a contribution.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take one step at a time. Okay, I mean, I think you're saying good things, but let's just one. So the first step was Hashem says, come on, say hello. Then Moshe's response is, does a servant say that to a master? So let's define the argument there. I mean, there's a sense that that's correct, but what's the Moshe Rabbeinu's argument?
It's disrespectful.
Okay. Right. Why is it disrespectful? Like, what's the disrespect? He's not just saying to interrupt, like, apparently specifically the Rav and the master, right?
I think the servant is there for the purpose of the master, and not it is not for himself to determine when they're going to be interacting, you know?
Okay.
I think it would be inappropriate not to respond if the master greets you first.
Right.
It's not the place to greet him first.
Right. Right. So you mean extending shalom is appropriate in a different situation, like when you're dealing with equals, right? It's like shalom is between friends. How you doing? Good, right? That's like...
Yeah, or a master to a servant.
Oh, master to a servant, right. Yes, right. But you mean the adon is in his world. He's doing his thing. He doesn't have to recognize the servant if he doesn't want to. So, but you, it's like presumptuous. It's assuming your own significance that he wants to say, hey, how's it going? And like the type of idle chatter is like a mutually fulfilling type of interaction. And you, the servant, don't have a right to presume that the master is interested in that type of a thing. The master is, especially here, he's doing something, but even if he wasn't doing something, who's to say, right? It's an appropriate thing to do when you're dealing with two equal people or whatever. Yes, someone lower than you, for sure. But it's not appropriate to presume that there should be like a social interaction when when he's your master.
So maybe that's the point. Is that my what I'm going to say doesn't make sense. We're all human beings, so we should relate to each other in the same way. But they're not. Like it's Moshe and Hashem. So
yeah,
that doesn't work. But
that's true. But even in human beings, we are all human beings. But if you have a relationship with someone who's your master, or your Rav, or something to that effect, there is an appropriate etiquette of your Rav is not your friend, and your master is not your friend, and you know whoever your boss is not your friend, or whatever. There is a dynamic of superior and underling. There is a different type of an etiquette between dealing with two coworkers and dealing with your boss, or whatever it is. So Hashem is like a muscle for that type of a thing, but it could be showing him a derech eretz of how to relate to your superior. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is that dynamic doesn't lend itself to this type of a social gesture. Hey, how's it going? Shalom Aleichem. You know? All the more so with Hashem, but...
Moshe's correcting Hashem, like that doesn't mean...
Well, Hashem is admonishing Moshe, and Moshe... See, it's interesting, the Torah holds that man's, the Navi especially, is in an interesting predicament. On the one hand, Hashem knows everything. On the other hand, God gave you a mind, and you have a right to understand. So the Navi is not one who just has blind submission, shut down your mind, and just whatever God says is. But Hashem encourages a person, and that's what the Navi does, is tries to understand. So like when Hashem told Abraham he's going to destroy Sodom, he says, really, is that with the judge of the whole world not do justice? Is that possible? Maybe they're tzaddikim. So that's like, the Navi is not a meek person who just accepts, but he's one who tries to understand. Now, of course, on the one hand, there's an assumption what God's doing is correct. And that's why Avraham is like, if you look at the dialogue between Avraham and Hashem, he's like, who am I? I am dust and ashes, and who am I to question what you're saying? But, at the same time, maybe there's tzaddikim, and isn't it fair? But who am I? Like, there's like a jumping back and forth between, on the one hand, realizing your true place in the universe, but then at the same time, not denying your mind. So Moshe Rabbeinu is, look, Hashem is admonishing Moshe, trying to teach him a lesson. And Moshe's like, I don't get it. This doesn't seem appropriate. That's why I didn't do it. Now teach me, show me. But on the surface, your point isn't appropriate, because After all, I relate to you as another one, and this is inappropriate as another one. You know? So then he's asking for a response. And Hashem does respond. Okay, so what's Hashem's response? Good question, though. And you're answering it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Hashem responds, you should have helped me. You should help me. And Rashi says, what does that mean? You should have said, Titzlach Malachtacha. Your Malacha should be successful. You should have Hatzlach. Right? So what's that? How does that answer? I mean, that's... Right?
That's what he should have done.
Yes.
Like Shaila Shalom?
Yes, that's what he's saying. Is you're right. I didn't mean you should have said Shalom. You should have rather said your work should be successful. Titzlach Malachtacha. You should have helped me. You should have helped me. What does help me mean? Saying that. That would have been an appropriate thing to say. On the surface, it's hard to understand. Why would that have been appropriate? How is that appropriate? Is that same thing? What, the master needs the servant to say your work should be successful? Right? So that still sounds like Hashem needs Moshe to say, you know, good work, do good work, try hard, do be successful. I wish you most aslacha. Right? It doesn't seem that much more appropriate. How are we doing on the phone? Any questions or comments?
Well, does that statement not imply like equal standing for some reason?
Okay.
Or why?
That's a good step. So why? But you're right. Hopefully that would be. Hopefully that's correct. Somehow that statement shouldn't imply it. But why? On the surface it does, right? What does it mean also though, is rainy to help me? How do you help?
Somehow recognition that he's involved in something. And by just recognizing it, I guess that you say when you go past someone it is necessary. I guess even if they're on a higher, like, you know, they're your master.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not sure if it's good for them or good for you or, you know, why it's necessary to recognize it.
Right. Okay, good. Good. You mean, well, on the one hand, it's inappropriate to treat yourself as an equal. At the same time, it's also inappropriate to just ignore them, pretend like they don't exist. That's like also a problem. So it's like you have to somehow find the balance where you don't ignore them, but then at the same time, you don't equate yourself to them. Right? That's what he's saying. You should be creative. It's true. I hear the point that don't make yourself an equal. But that doesn't mean it's appropriate to just ignore them. That's also wrong. Like you say, your boss, it's wrong to just interrupt. But it's also wrong to just ignore them. It's also not appropriate. So you have to somehow come up with a creative solution of something which you could say which will, on the one hand, recognize their existence, but at the same time not undermine the nature of the relationship. Okay? So maybe we just have to figure out what that is. Right? But that's like seems like that's the outline of what's going on here, right?
Isn't that just measuring the responses though? Like if I walk into work and I see my boss is running the company, I'm not gonna be like so like laid back, like, hey, what's going on? Versus right. Like, hi, how are you? You know?
Uh-huh.
We're not friends.
Right, correct.
So I'm respecting the position,
Yes. Okay.
But
good.
I'm not like just gonna ask them.
Yes. Like right. Okay. Good. So what about in the particular? I mean, you're right, but now it is giving like a concrete suggestion, which the Gemara says is to help him. And the way Rashi explains that is, it means to say that his work should be successful.
In that same vein, like, let's say, using that, like, a real-world example, if the boss says, leaving to go on a business trip, right, or whatever, you say, okay, good luck, or something right, like that, you're not really helping them with anything.
Right.
Like, you're still, like,
right,
sending your good thoughts in their direction or something like
right,
that. So, like, you want to...
Right.
Gosh, I'm saying, like, if you see somebody doing something, you should want to have positive thoughts
right,
for whatever the work is.
Right. I mean, wishing them well is you trying to, so to speak, help them be successful in their...
Or just support whatever
right,
they're doing.
Give your support. And that... And does that, and that doesn't undermine the dynamic? Because... Because why?
I guess you're not really saying that you're above them or even at the same
right,
level. You're just
right,
trying to teeter-totter that,
mm-hmm,
like...
Right, okay, good. Okay. Good. What's the emphasis in the Gemara that gets around that? It says, you should have helped me. Right?
I mean, as opposed to saying shalom, you should help.
Right. You should help, right? Saying shalom is just a social gesture. But helping, we have to see how it helps. But helping is what servants do for masters, right? That's your job, to help. So what do you mean, why do you need help? Well, that's your job. You're a servant. Servants help the masters. That's part of their thing. So if you're helping them, however it is, the servant can help the master. I mean, you have to know how you can help and how you can't help, but there is an idea of helping. And if the words which you enunciate are words of assistance in some sort of a way, well, then you are not undermining the relationship of servant to master, but you're acting directly in line with that relationship. Right? So saying Shalom Aleichem, that's not helping him, that's just creating a social like equivalence, if you will, and trying to create a goodwill, but that's not in line with the relationship servant and master. But something which is words of assistance, of help, is in line with it. On the contrary, it's a direct expression of that, right? So it doesn't. It's not ignoring the master, and it's not making yourselves equals. On the contrary, it's an action of servitude, of helping, assistance, which is what you're supposed to be doing, right? So, what's the help? Saying you should be successful, and this guy's particular, Rashi fills it in, right? This, so far, this is the Gemara. The Rashi is going to fill in how you help. But the Gemara itself, even without Rashi, is giving you the basic direction. You should help. But now the question is, what should he have said which would help? Right? What in particular is the help, right? And Gemara tells us the general type of thing that should be said. And now what is in particular? So it's Rashi's interpretation, and we'll get through Advaz learning differently. But Rashi's interpretation is you should say your work should be successful. Right? So what's Titzlach Malachtacha? So I guess what would that mean here? I guess it would mean by the crowns in this particular instance, right? Hashem is supplying, they're putting the crowns on that. And he's helping by saying you should be successful. So how does that help? How is that helping? Right? And let's see, let's for a little bit ignore the fact that it's Hashem and we can't help Hashem. That's the tricky part of this whole thing. But let's just imagine it were a boss who's going on a trip to Hong Kong to buy products for the business. I don't know. He says, you should be successful in your endeavor. So, wish him words of success. So how is that help? How are those words of help? In what way does that help?
Helping helps people to know that other people, you know, are someone who's supposed to say, like, rooting for them, but, like, you know, have it that it should be, you know, that it's their will also that your will should,
mm-hmm. Right. And that helps you because
you're part of the same company. You're all working together towards the same goal.
Okay. And that helps the boss. I mean, that helps the boss.
No,
that helps the servant, I understand, but we don't necessarily are helping the boss, right? So that helps the boss because...
So if you're out there, when you're in doing whatever you're doing, you, like, subconsciously, you know you have people behind you that are...
Mm-hmm. Right.
...help you...
Right.
...do whatever you're doing better.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, what you're doing is not only in your best interest, but you're pursuing that which is the best interest of everybody. And you're doing something which is meaningful and important to not only yourself, but to the greater good of the company or whatever. Right? If you wish your friend good job, have, you know, good luck on your test or whatever it is, so your friend senses that you also have a vested interest, and now when they're doing it, they feel like they're doing something which is of more meaning. People care about you, and you're doing something which is going beyond just their own personal self-interest, but there are other people who are interested as well. And that helps the person have the strength to be able to do it. They realize they're involved in something meaningful. People want to do things which are not only for themselves, but which have a greater good and makes other people happy and is fulfilling some sort of greater purpose in the world. So if a lot of people... If your master is going out and the servant said, go on, good work, go do it. So now he feels like they appreciate what he's doing, and now when he's doing it, he's actually doing something which is in the best interest of other people, and that does help him. It doesn't help him physically, it helps him psychologically, right? Because now he knows he has the strength, right? You could help him by lifting his suitcase for him. You could help him by giving him the psychological strength, which is through knowledge that other people are interested in your success, and that also gives you the ability to succeed, right? So it's like, it's a way of helping through words, right? So servitude or helping isn't always through physical manual labor, it could be through psychologically giving encouragement. It's like words of encouragement, right? Like, that's the idea of encouragement. Okay, so now how does this carry over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that's the more tricky stuff, right? Does it, or is there some sort of a...
It seems like it's more for our benefit, because it doesn't make any sense if it...
Okay, go. But then it's like the analogy somehow falls short. Right? I mean, I understand why you want to say that, but at the same time, then it almost makes... You could say that, but then it makes the whole thing like a lesson, which is not truly a good fit, but it's kind of like trying to, you know.
Right, but it doesn't make sense to say that Hashem needs our encouragement to do a good, like, does he need us to tell him that it's great that you're doing a good job,
yes,
so the letters will
right.
be amazing? Like, it
right.
doesn't.
Right, correct. Correct. And then let's just maybe that'll give us a clue. It says Moshe learned his lesson at the son of Meraglim. Moshe davened to Hashem. Hashem, make your power great and forgive the Jewish people. And as he said so, right? So that was like him davening. He learned his lesson and he davened to Hashem to be able to forgive the Jewish people. And that was somehow in line with this lesson. So I don't know. Maybe that'll help. Maybe that's difficult. I don't know. But you know, sometimes.
So this happened to prepare Moshe for when
tomorrow. Seems that way. Yeah. Or he learned the lesson and helped, you know, he used that lesson going forward.
What is your How did that relate to Moshe?
I don't know exactly, but it's supposed to be related to Moshe because he learned his lesson by saying, now, Hashem.
I didn't say how.
I'm saying maybe that would be a clue
oh.
as to how it's, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if it was hard or it hurts or helps, but. That is the final step in the Gemara. Ask? You guys looking at the car?
There's a few answers, sweetheart.
three guys? Like together or they're separate?
Together.
Do they look scary?
Why?
So we'll get to that. You think that would help or hurt? Or should I read it to you again? I mean, I think it's good to focus on one thing at a time. So I can tell you, but... You want me to tell you, or...?
Whatever.
Okay, so let's hold off on that, okay? It's good. I think we're almost done with Rashi, so then it's like a different track. So let's see if we could, you know? So the question is, could we take this idea of how you could help your boss and somehow apply that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without being blasphemous? Right? So let's get the particular. Mo Hashem is tying the letters on, the chal, right, the crowns, and somehow Hashem's saying to Moshe, sorry, Moshe is saying to Hashem, you should be successful, we'll somehow be helping Hashem. Okay?
You really know why Hashem is doing that?
What's that?
Why is
Hashem doing that? Okay, so that may be what I have for. But that, the Gemara says, that's like the crowns and letters reflects like the great Chachma of the Torah. And they're like crowns that Rabbi Akiva learned the halachas from all the crowns. But it's like the infinite wisdom in the Torah is like implanted in those crowns, and they all reflect different ideas. So Hashem is like really adding the utmost level of Chachma to the Torah and doing, you know, putting on those crowns. Seems.
So only being successful is like that Bnei Yisrael should understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I mean, he's asking that you should be successful, and that Klal Yisrael should understand that. Okay? And how would that be helping him? Helping Hashem? In what way would that be helping Hashem?
He's saying Moshe, like, tried.
Okay. Good. Good. Right, exactly.
Moshe's on teaching
it. Right, Moshe was teaching it, exactly. Right. You mean, exactly. Is that if Hashem's going to make these super duper chachma in the Torah, right? But no one's interested, then it's not going to be successful. It's like Hashem can't be successful on his own here. You can put the greatest Chachma in the Torah, but if you don't have Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rav of all Klal Yisrael, teaching them, inspiring them, moving them to pursue the depths of Chachma, then it's pointless. There's no fulfillment. It doesn't accomplish anything. So God could only be successful, I mean, the plan is successful for the world to gain the knowledge of the Torah. God doesn't need to put crowns on the Torah. The crowns are there for man's benefit. Well, man's not going to... God doesn't just magically make people chachamim. It's through man's free will, through the leader of Klal Yisrael moving the people towards doing that. And by Moshe Rabbeinu davening, saying, you should be successful. I, being the leader, the teacher, would love to be able to uncover the depths of the wisdom, and we hope that you'll be successful in accomplishing this, because I'm going to inspire the Jews to be able to do so, and there's going to be Rabbi Akiva generations down the line who's going to be able to help uncover these ideas. That will actually help Hashem, so to speak. It doesn't really help Hashem. Hashem doesn't need the whole thing, but Hashem is doing it for man's benefit, and therefore it will accomplish God's objective in doing it. The objective of God making the Chachma and letters can only be fulfilled if man is there to receive it. So by saying you should be successful, it's actually an appropriate, it's like a tefillah, it's a request saying you should be successful, which is appropriate within the framework of a servant to a master. It's helping him, because it is helping him. It's similar to in the boss. It's like he knows when he does it, he has people behind him who are rooting for him, pushing for him, getting a benefit from what he's doing. So too, yeah.
Uncle Jay is here, Mommy said.
Uncle Jay is here. And he wants me to come out?
Yeah.
Okay. See ya. Yeah, so what we're saying is that helping Hashem here means that Hashem's plan in this world is only realized through man taking the lead, so to speak. So Moshe davening that Hashem should be able to, or asking Hashem to be successful is saying, I want you to be successful. I'm going to lead the Jewish people in a way that will lead to their success. And that is, so to speak, helping Hashem. And that's an appropriate etiquette to say to Hashem. You know, he's not ignoring Hashem. At the same time, he's not undermining the fact that he's helping. He's not an equal saying Shalom Aleichem, but at the same time, Hayilcha La'azreini. You should have tried to help me. You should have wished me those words and thereby assisted in Hashem's plight. Good?
And that's the other guy of Samuel, sorry.
The Ritva, okay, so yes, good, but a little different. So let's see. So the Ritva is saying, what does it mean you should have helped? You should have davened that Hashem should help the Jewish people to rule over their Yetzer Hara, to fulfill the Torah. Because helping the Jews is helping Hashem, and saving the Jews of the Jews is saving Hashem. So it's similar, right, that point that it's helping Hashem, but at the same time, he's going off of the crowns and the letters, and he's saying is, you should help daven to help the Jews rule over their Yetzer Hara. Like, where does that come from, and why is he bringing that up? That seems to be, you know, off the topic. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's similar, but somehow different, right? So how would maybe like this? How would you compare and contrast? Contrast, I should say, the Ritva Rashi versus the Ritva about what the help or what he should be asking.
Before you get even get that, just to even understand what that means. In other words, that Klal Yisrael. I mean, we all have bechira, but overcoming Yetzer Hara requires a lot of circumstances that are difficult, complicated, challenging. You can get overwhelmed, so he should be davening that. Everything that's out of our control
would
be ideal for everyone to be able to control the Yetzer Hara, and that's what Hashem was telling Moshe, you should be davening for all the circumstances to be favorable for everyone to control the Yetzer Hara.
Yes, exactly. Right. Daven to help them be successful. Help them means to create those types of circumstances which will allow us to exercise our Bechira properly to be successful. Yes. So why is that relevant here? I mean, what's here? He's telling him to do the crowns. He's doing the crowns, and he's saying he should have them, that he should overcome the Yetzer Hara. Like, who's?
Maybe Moshe is saying, I'll teach it, but like, not the best of
the best. Okay, good. Good.
Right, like that, that's like the pinnacle of being involved in Torah. Like, we need help to, to get there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Okay, good. There's two things which is necessary for us to succeed in Torah. One is that we have to be targeting the depths of the Chachma of the Torah. But even if we're doing that, we have to rule over our Yetzer Hara. Torah can't be accomplished by a person who's like just a freestyle philosopher. He's, you know, pursuing knowledge, but you also want to be, you know, control, do whatever your Yetzer Hara tells you to do. Is the success in Torah comes from a person controlling their Yetzer and directing their energies towards growth and towards knowledge. And it's a two-step program, if you will. And the greatest Chachma, that's what he's saying, is Hashem is putting the Chachma into it. But now Moshe Rabbeinu has to lead the people and allow them to want to pursue the Chachmas HaTorah, to not get carried away by their emotions, their fears, they were overwhelmed, they were overcome. It doesn't say the Meraglim was because they didn't want the Chachmas HaTorah, but because they were frightened, because they couldn't overcome their fears, their wishes, and that's in general, the Cheid HaEgel, and I mean, all the time. So it's saying is the success is like, according to Rashi, he's saying you should have helped me to daven that we're going to want the Chachma, which is directly what Hashem was doing. And according to Ritva, you should have wished me or daven that the second side of the puzzle should be fit in. God's doing the first side. He's doing the chachma. But now you should daven and you should help me lead the people in a way that's going to help them towards being successful and, you know, and controlling themselves to be able to have the proper mindset. Because if you value your taivas, you're not going to be able to value Torah. Your energy can't go in both areas. And it could be the Ritva is better fit for the Meraglim. Because you see, that's what the problem with the Meraglim was, that the Jews, it wasn't the lack of Chachma, and that's why he says he learned his lesson and said after the Meraglim, he says, Hashem, you should now, you know, overcome your anger, so to speak, and forgive the people and give them a chance and help them be able to go forward. Right? So it's like they're, in a certain sense, Rashi's is more direct to the letters, but, you know, to the crowns on the letters, but then the Ritva's way is more of a better fit in terms of the lesson which Moshe took, which is the Meraglim, that's a more appropriate hook. You know, Rashi's going to have to learn, he just learned from the letters this idea of helping Hashem, so to speak, and then Moshe learned that concept and applied it in a totally different way when it came to the Meraglim. See, it's not like exactly the same fit, according to you know, Rashi. But they're both in the same ballpark. Right? Good? So, but the it's interesting. So there's two different facets, but the takeaway, or one takeaway, is the appropriate etiquette. That's what's interesting, is you learn, it's teaching you a proper derech eretz, an etiquette of how to talk when you encounter your boss, your master, your, you know, superior. It's not appropriate to ignore. That's wrong. That's to pretend they don't exist. At the same time, it's not appropriate to treat them like they're your equal. Right? But rather, it's appropriate to somehow help them do say something which maintains the nature of the dynamic and doesn't ignore it. Like, I know, I've had this sometimes. It's like, if I see, like, let's say, Yeshiva Rebbe is sitting, and he comes after the davening and shul, something like that. Like, sometimes I feel like a funny, I go over to him and say, hey, how's it going? What's doing? You know, I feel like that's not really appropriate. But at the same time, what, I'm not going to, like, go over to him at all and just pretend like he doesn't exist, you know? So, like, what I try to do sometimes is, like, to think of a question. Ask Mashaila a question or something. So it's like, I create the dynamic, which is, but I'm asking him a question. So he's my Rebbe, and I'm asking him a question because I want to learn from him. And so it's like, to say, it's like mach of him, it recognizes him, it does ignore him, but at the same time, it maintains what the nature of the relationship is, which is that he's the Rebbe, and I'm a Talmud, and I'm looking to learn from him. You know, so it's like a kind of a similar, but this is like a real life problem, I think. If you've encountered these types of things, and then they're like, it's like creating awkwardness. You don't know, like, what's the, it's like a different type of etiquette than ordinary. And probably the boss. I assume in the workplace it's similar. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if it depends on the boss or whatever, but yeah. Okay, are we good? Any questions there on the phone?